under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just gonna wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my freedom, God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey everybody, welcome back into the show. Second hour on this TGIF. Thank God it's Friday, January 12th, 2024 edition of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. As soon as we can get Pastor Chatfield connected into the board, he's going to be talking with us today. He has the Stuart Kings of England listed as his lesson plan. And for some reason, he's showing up as being unavailable. Let me do this here. That is weird. Let's do a disconnect here, and then we'll see if we can add him back in. Okay, we've got that connection back introduced. Let's see if we can do this. Love technology when it works and absolutely hate it when it doesn't. Now, maybe, I'm not sure, they have, I believe they have school today. They're not out of school. There he is. Now he's green. Okay, let's add him back in. This way, click this. Lord God, please make this work. He's got a green light, so hopefully he's connected, and we are talking with Pastor Chatfield, talking about the Stuart Kings of England. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Yes, we're on. Okay. All right. So I'm teaching through world history, so this is what I've been teaching my high school class, and I'll try to give you some correlations here with what's happening in America at the same time. All right. So in Europe, they would have lines of kings. Okay, we talk about, you know, in England, there was always, there's generally struggles of which family would dominate. The Tudors were the king, called the Tudor Kings of England before 1600. The Tudor line ended with Queen Elizabeth. Until this queen, the modern queen that just died in England, the longest reigning queen. She was the daughter of Henry VIII. And a long story about Henry VIII and how we got a Protestant, the Church of England came into being. But anyways, since we're talking about the Stuart kings, when she was the virgin queen, never married, didn't have any heirs. And so after she died, a new dynasty arose called the Stuart kings, Stuart, Stuart Kings of England, started in 1603, and it started with King James I. Basically, there are six people that reigned as Stuarts. The first one was King James the First. He was a staunch believer in what you've heard me try to teach, this divine right. This was the idea in Europe and in England, all over Europe, that if I'm king, it's because God wanted me to be king. And if I'm a bad king, it's because you're a bad people. And you just have to wait until my son would be born, and then you might get a better king. But you do whatever I tell you because God put me here.
That's called
divine right. And it's not totally wrong. It's just mostly wrong. In other words, they would say, and they make this argument, well, read Romans chapter 13 in the Bible, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And so they would argue, God put me here, you obey me. Now, there was a growing argument with that. I hear the music, and we'll talk about divine right and King James and what happened with them, the first of the Stuart kings, after the break.
Sounds good. Word from our sponsors. I'm Trucker Randy Bishop. He's Pastor Chatfield. We'll be right back.
Askiel Electric and Gas Co-op has powered Northeast Michigan for more than 85 years. Now we're connecting it to the rest of the world through our new fiber network. Get ready for the PIE&G Connect broadband difference. The fastest speeds in Northeast Michigan, unlimited access, and exceptional reliability. Packages start at $54.95 per month with autopay. There's internet, and then there's PIE&G Connect. Sign up today at PIEGConnect.com.
Trucker Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. Patriotsrelief.com.
My name is Todd Smallenberg. I'm running to be your state representative in the 106th District. I took an oath to the Constitution and the American people my entire adult life. That oath has no expiration date. I will represent and fight for you, the people that elect me, not the folks in Lansing. Vote for me, Todd Smallenberg, and let's get Michigan back on track. Our kids and grandkids deserve a better future, and I am willing to fight for that. ElectSmallenberg.com. Paid for by Todd Smallenberg for state rep.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Hey everybody, welcome back into the show. The Stuart Kings of England, and I want to get I want to tee this up in a proper perspective for people to understand my history, training, education that I've received. Why is England and Great Britain so much a part of America? Explain to the people going way back the history of our country and how Great Britain and England, why do we talk about you know, all of the people in Great Britain and all of the kings and the monarchs and King George, all of these things. Why is it so important for people of America to understand this history?
It is important. It's just like if I wanted to understand Randy Bishop, I'd have to understand your mom and dad. Where did you come from? What was their upbringing? America was originally a 13 English colonies. And so our history, we share a – this history that I'm talking about here is shared history. This is kind of – you could say this is pre-American history, but it greatly affected American history. America, it was established under English – ideas of religion and English ideas of government, by and large. I know there were a lot of people listening to you that might have Scottish or German or African or Indian ancestry, but we live in a country that was originally the 13 colonies of England. This is our shared history. This is like finding out about our great grandparents even before we became a nation. This shaped us, and a lot of the things that you'll hear me say today. I mean, the people that founded this country look back at this and says, "We don't want that. We don't want that to happen again. We don't want more religious wars." I'll get to that in a minute.
Sure.
So King James was he grew up reared by Scottish Presbyterians, and the Presbyterians were – he was trained that way, but he rejected some of that because he could see that Presbyterianism, Christianity, or what we'd say Baptist or Presbyterian Christianity – this is so complicated, I'd have to keep backpedaling here – are antagonistic to his divine right. His divine right. I'm not wishing to offend anybody, but for instance, in the Roman Catholic Church, you have a pope. He's in charge. I mean, he is the pontiff. He is the papa, the daddy. He is Roman Catholicism has traditionally believed that when the pope sits at his desk, ex cathedra, what he says is truth and cannot be questioned. He's the pope. The Presbyterians, the Baptists, the Separatists rejected that thinking, saying, no, the word of God is superior. And we don't put all power in one person. When we wrote our Constitution in this country, we didn't want a king. We created three branches of government to divide power. And we also had a federal form of government where on the federal level, it was divided between three branches, but it's also divided between state government and national government because we understood what power does to people. It has a tendency to corrupt, always has, always will. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. Lord Ashton said that. So King James could see this, what was going on in England. Yes, we had the Church of England, but he wanted complete control of the Church of England and complete control of religion also. And there were a lot of separatists that didn't believe that. And actually, it was King James that said, I want to harry them out of the land, concerning the Puritans and the separatists. It was under his reign that the Pilgrims first fled to Holland, and then they fled to the United States in 1620. That's well. He was king. And then later in 1630, when his son Charles I was king, it's when we had the great migration of the Puritans came to Massachusetts and formed Massachusetts Bay Colony. It's because they were being persecuted in England because they didn't believe in the absolute authority of the king over this whole notion of divine right. It was a big deal. And Parliament was struggling against this. They were struggling. There was a time, the second of the Stuart kings, Charles I. So it goes James I to Charles I, where Charles I openly proclaimed that he was going to rule without the consent of the people. He was not going to call Parliament. He was going to rule by divine right. It's called the 11 Years' Tyranny. That's what I'm going to do. Now, Parliament in 1628 issued something called the Petition of Right, in which Charles originally assented to that. Hey, we Englishmen have got some rights, some fundamental rights, and the king has to recognize them. But then he went back on that and says, no, I'm not going to recognize them. No more. That's it. And I am going to rule absolutely. And so what began to happen is the Parliament started to organize themselves and say, we're not going to assent to that. And they started forming armies. And so that leads us to something called the English Civil War. It goes on maybe 7-8 years. In which it's a war between Parliament and the king. It's you've heard of the word cavaliers. The cavaliers was that portion of the army that was supporting the king, and then another group, those that supported the Parliament, were known as Roundheads, and they were led by a man named Oliver Cromwell, and his Ironsides, his army was nicknamed the Ironsides, and they fought with the Cavaliers in the 1640s for control of England. And eventually, Oliver Cromwell gains the ascendancy and the king is ousted. Charles I is beheaded. From 1649 to 1650, there is no king. You have Oliver Cromwell, who's known as the Lord Protectorate. And the problem is here, even though I think Cromwell was a good leader, boy, you can't overthrow centuries upon centuries of tradition and then go, now we're not going to have a king. We weren't ready. The English people were not ready for that. 1649 to 1660, the Protectorate, as it was called, and Oliver Cromwell, known as the Lord Protector, ruled. But when Cromwell died in 1660, his son Richard Cromwell became Lord Protector, and he didn't have the skill, didn't have the talent of his father, and he earned the nickname Tumble Down Dick because he lost power so quickly. Mm. And eventually, Charles II, the son of Charles I, who had been out hiding, he came back and restored the Stuart monarchy. So there's an 11-year period in there where the Stuarts didn't reign at all. And the Cavaliers, the forces of the monarchy regained control in 1660. And it was not great with Charles II. His son, James II, was a Catholic. And he became the new King of England. And religion here is all tied into the Civil War. It's completely tied in. The Parliament was by and large Protestant, and they had made up their minds, we're not going to have another Catholic king in England. And so they basically oust James II and call for some distant cousins from the Netherlands, William and Mary, to come and to take the rule. And in 1689, the British Parliament passes what is known as the English Bill of Rights. And it's ironic, about 100 years before the American Bill of Rights. And if you compare the English Bill of Rights and the United States Bill of Rights, they're very similar. You can see how our Bill of Rights was patterned after that. And before William and Mary became king and queen of England, they said, look, your power is not absolute. You cannot be our queen and king without you agreeing to set yourself under these Bill of Rights. And this revolution, what is known as the Glorious Revolution, 1688. So there's two revolutions, but this one was bloodless. James II tried to resist, saw it futile, and fled. And so now you've got a new king. And this is the beginning in England of the eventual minimizing of the monarchy. Now, by the time the 20th century comes around, the king and queen of England are figurehead, ceremonial, and they're influential, but they don't have authority. And to this
and on that point, where the parliament system of government is set up, they really have no influence over parliament. Is that an accurate statement?
I would say they have influence. They don't have authority. They don't have power.
They don't have power. Gotcha.
But influence.
Now, the influence, of course, is because still being the ceremonial figureheads, if you will, of the country, they then have influence with who? The voters that actually elect the parliament members?
Yes.
Is that how it's perceived, that they influence the vote?
Oh, yes. When Churchill was prime minister, yeah, he wanted the king behind him. And the king wasn't originally.
This is, of course, leading up to World War II.
Yes, after World War II had already begun, when the Germans invaded Poland. I've been watching this new Netflix documentary on World War II. It's pretty good.
Text me that. I want to watch that.
It's pretty good.
Well, one of the things, because it's kind of interesting you had this subject today, because we've been watching some documentaries about the Catholic Church, the popes, the ending of the popes, the ending of the world, all this information out of Scripture and certain prophets in Scripture in the Old Testament. And it was really interesting that the references made about the kings, how many times throughout our history involving the Roman Catholic Church and the King of England and what was going on in the Vatican, how it's all interconnected. Very interesting, because what you're saying, this actually, England went through this progressive evolution. Would that be a good way to describe what you're talking about?
Yes. But 1649, 1640 to 1649, we could call that whole 7, 8, 9 years, the English Civil War. It wasn't evolution, but it
got
went
it.
To part.
It was actually a revolution itself.
It was a civil war, but that didn't last either. There's so many points of history have to be learned here. First of all, you cannot, prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they're accustomed. That's in our Declaration of Independence. You just can't throw off a monarchy that's been around for 1,000 years and just say, okay, well, now we're not going to have a monarch. You got to
deal with it in a very specific way.
Right. It's just the way that is. And this is a transition time. And again, in our United States Constitution, Article 6 of our Constitution, there shall never be a religious test for any office of honor in the United States, in our Constitution. Why? Because we didn't want another religious war. The war between Parliament and the king was over religion. And it was over principle. What we wanted when we formed America, we wanted – was America a Christian nation? Yes. Did we institutionalize Christianity into our Constitution? No. Here's what Madison said. Look, he was a Christian, and he says, but Christianity, religion is a matter of the heart, and you can't force it by law. You cannot force it by law. And he says, if we were to make Christianity the, quote, official religion of the United States, put it in the Constitution, then we'd start having arguments of which definition of Christianity would be instituted. We didn't want that, because we knew of the religious wars that were going on in Europe and in England.
Absolutely. Perfect spot for a Bomb the Hour news break. I'm Trucker Randy Bishop. He's Pastor Chatfield. We'll be right back.